Well, earlier in the week, we discussed the fact that one of Bob Hawke's daughters has contested his will and is suing his widow, Blanche Dalpuget, over what she's been left after Bob Hawke passed away. And we talked about whether or not, philosophically, whether you should be allowed to contest a will. But have you ever wondered about what the legalities of this are? Aaron McDonald is from Pragma Lawyers, is an expert on these things, and joins us now. G'day, Aaron.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Very well, mate. Is a will worth the paper it's written on?
Yes, absolutely it is, if it's done properly. But there's exceptions to the rule, Steve. So, I mean, a couple of the common pitfalls is, you ever been in the Australia Post shop and you see those homemade will kits that you can use? Well, one judge has written a couple of judgments saying that, those things are a curse and you should never use them. And I think lawyers generally agree. As far as lawyers go, I know that they're not the most like people in the community, but when you're getting a will done, it's actually not all that expensive to get one done. Probably if you get something simple done, you're probably spending $300 or $400, and to spend that amount of money and get it done properly is worthwhile. But
because I guess the one guarantee is you're never going to be around to make sure it goes the way you want it to.
That's true. So, and some people take the view, well, I don't really care. But, that's right, you're not. But you can do certain things to safeguard. I've been involved in lots of cases where clients have come in wanting to draft their wills and they're alive to the prospect of a family member wanting to challenge the will once they pass.
Yep.
And so we've designed the will knowing that to be the case and putting protections in there to ensure that that doesn't occur.
So, for instance, let's just say you're a genuinely nasty person, you don't want to leave anything to your kids, and you're going to leave it to Blind Freddy, who you met down the pub. Your kids are all going to be upset about this. Can you legally do that?
You can try, but that would be one that would probably be open to challenge. And the reason for that, Steve, is there's legislation in all states of Australia, which really dates back hundreds of years, which The underlying rationale behind the legislation was, if you have the responsibility of looking after particular people, e.g. your children, and you can't die and leave your estate to somebody else and then put that burden on the state to look after your children. That's the underlying rationale. And the words that the legislation uses is for their advancement of life, their education and their maintenance. So the question is, does your will, the legal question that a court would look at in that exact scenario you've just given me, is does the will adequately provide for the advancement, care and maintenance and education of those children? Now, if they're adult children that have been surviving by themselves for quite some time and have good jobs and haven't received a cracker from their parents prior to them passing, then you'd probably say that it does provide for that because they don't need anything. But if it's the case that somebody suffers from some sort of addiction, and for example, in the Hawke case, it's well publicised that the daughter did at one stage suffer from a heroin addiction.
Yep.
Not that she no longer does, but I think she no longer does, but if she continued to in a hypothetical scenario, a court would say, well, you should have made a provision for her in your will. But equally, the corollary of all of that is that the courts have repeatedly said, particularly in New South Wales, you can't rewrite wills. This isn't an opportunity just for the testator's wishes to be out the door.
Yep.
The court's not going to rewrite it for you.
I guess the big thing here is people's circumstances change throughout the course of their lives. And obviously with Bob's case, he had a family with Hazel, and then that marriage broke down and he had a relationship with Blanche. So his situation did change. And I imagine that's where the difficulty arises.
Yeah.
Do most people acknowledge these things and update their wills on a regular enough basis?
Some people are very good at it. Most people are pretty bad at it. If you marry or divorce, it will generally have the effect of voiding the terms of the will in any event. So you actually, if you marry or if you divorce, for example, you should immediately get a new will, and same if you get married. Some people, like, for example, clients that come into my firm come in, you know, once every 2 years, go, oh, something's changed, I want to change this, and people are right on top of it. But other people, getting their affairs in order and their estate planning is really something that's on the bottom of their list.
Yeah, and I suppose it's a factor of age too. Aaron, well, is there any such thing as an ironclad will?
I don't think there is, but the closest thing I've seen is a will that does make some sort of provision for immediate family members. And then once a will is a probate's granted, it becomes a public document. So you or I can now go down to the court and get a copy of Bob Hawke's will and have a read of it. But what I've seen people do is have a side letter. So it's not the will itself, it's another document on the side. And that therefore does not become a public document because it's not part of the will. Mm. In that letter, you say, I appreciate that I haven't left my daughter, Sally, very much, but that's because, and then you set out the reasons why. She never came to see me when I was sick, those sorts of explanations, if you can put them in there, that will make it a little bit more ironclad.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, those are my tips.
Aaron, you've just explained to us why we should get a lawyer to do it. Good to speak to you this evening.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
That's Aaron McDonald from Pragma Lawyers. Have you had a difficulty with a will? Give us a call, 13 27 10.